Rebound by Mark Binder. But a thuck. George craned his neck up to stare at the ceiling. Then he took a deep breath and refocused on pushing into his palms and feet equally. But a thuck. George frowned. It seemed as if Roger, his son, was timing the bounces of the tennis ball off the floor and wall to whenever the yoga instructor on Zoom called for a downward-facing dog. George put it aside and flowed through plank and a series of other asanas. After 6 months of home practice, he was finally beginning to understand the connection between mind and body. But a thuck. Cursing, George jumped to his feet, banged up the stairs, and threw Roger's door open. "I'm in the middle of math class," Roger mouthed, pointing at the Google Classroom open on his laptop's screen. "It's very important," the teacher was saying, "that you understand the fundamentals. If you don't, ask questions. Please, please, I can't look over your shoulder and see where you're going astray, so you need to tell me." George looked at the tennis ball in Roger's left hand and the pencil in his right. The boy's desk was crowded with paper and books, his laptop precariously balanced on an old shoebox. "What?" Roger silently mouthed. George bit his bottom lip, shook his head, backed out, closed the door, and padded downstairs. By the time he got back to his mat, the virtual yoga class was already in seated meditation. Fed up, he quit out of the meeting, strode into the kitchen, and turned on the coffee machine. Then he closed his eyes, took a breath, and slowly let it out. At least Roger was showing up for his online classes. George had read in the paper about all the absenteeism and how parents of younger kids had to log on next to their children to make sure they did their work. Really, he and Roger were so lucky. They had food and shelter. Yes, his ex, Roger's mom, was in quarantine for another 10 days, but that just meant father and son had more time together. Which usually wasn't a problem, except when Roger whacked his tennis ball against the floor and wall during George's morning yoga class. Maybe the problem was coffee. To reduce his stress, George had postponed his first cup of coffee until after yoga. Clearly that wasn't working. While he waited, George reviewed his day. Log on to work, Zoom meetings all day, make dinner, watch something on TV, go to sleep. Yep, same old, same old. He stared at the stream of coffee filling his mug. Come on. At least he had a job. At least he wasn't homeless or unemployed. He couldn't imagine looking for work in this economy with the virus. George excelled in face-to-face communication. He knew how to read body language and give that warm and encouraging handshake. How was Roger going to get a job after he got out of high school and out of college and into the real world? By then, the virus would be gone, though, wouldn't it? The coffee cup was only half full, but George didn't care. He swapped the pot under, blew, and took a sip. Coffee meditation. He smiled. He'd have to remember that next time he talked to his therapist. Over Zoom, of course. He sighed, looked at the clock, rolled up his yoga mat, and moved the kitchen table back. Then he pulled on the already buttoned Oxford shirt with a pre-tied tie looped around the collar. He tightened the tie, poured more coffee into his mug, padded over to the kitchen table, and sat down. Commute over. Still in his yoga shorts with no socks, George smiled, checked his reflection in his laptop's camera, and logged in. The day blew by. 3 Zoom meetings, only half attention paid. Logistics and the shutdown of a potential factory in China due to the virus. While his colleagues were panicking, George researched and found 3 factories in Vietnam that were still open and looking for customers. He shot Mr. Dennings, his boss, the list of new prospects, which made Denning look good for the suggestion and banked George some brownie points. God, work was boring. He missed flying around the world to negotiate and investigate potential human rights violations. Who knew what the conditions were for foreign workers these days? But George was actually getting more work done. Meetings, though more frequent, were more fluid, although now he had no way to get out of working longer hours because he didn't have to go home. He was home. But a thug? Right. He stared up at the ceiling. Time to deal with his son. Roger's door was open. But a thuck. The ball rebounded off the floor, the wall, and then landed in Roger's left hand. Without switching, he threw it again, this time catching it in his right. I'm not doing yoga, George said. What? Roger scowled. Yeah, so? You don't have to do that. What? Hit the ball, to annoy me. You're not working, are you? Roger knew enough to check their shared calendar to make sure he didn't disturb his dad during work time. No, George said. He leaned against the door jamb. I'm here, with you. Why? Roger asked. George shrugged. There's nowhere else to go. Besides, I like you. What do you like about me? Roger said. Accusational attitude turned up to about 7. I like that we can have such deep and meaningful talks, George said. Roger stared at his father. After a moment, they both laughed. Over dinner, which was Chinese takeout rather than the nutritious and balanced meal George had planned, they were both checking their phones. Staring at a screen was a bad habit, George knew, but sometimes it was easier to look at the phone than to talk to the person who was in the room. You know what I miss? Roger said suddenly. Hanging out with your friends? Yeah, that too. I miss the future. What do you mean? Roger stared at his phone and then set it on the table, screen side down. Before the virus, I figured I'd go to college and get a job and get married and have kids, you know? Not like I had it all planned out, but that was the way things were supposed to be. Now, colleges are in chaos, everybody's working for Amazon, and how the heck am I going to meet anyone, let alone start a family? George opened his mouth to say, It's going to end someday. But he stopped. His son was looking at him for the answer, and he realized that this was one of those opportunities to pass on wisdom. Wisdom that he didn't have. There really wasn't an easy answer. He put his own phone down. You know how when you throw that tennis ball, it bounces off the floor and hits the wall and then lands in your hand? Roger rolled his eyes. Yeah. You could learn the geometry of that, right? Yeah. And that would make you a better pool player. If we had a pool table, or I was able to go out and play pool, Roger said, attitude at about 8. George nodded. Right. But when you throw it, you don't really think about those angles. You just bounce it, catch, bounce, catch. What's your point, Dad? With an eye roll and a sigh. George did his best to keep from laughing. If you were bouncing the ball against the door, and I opened the door, and the ball went through the door and down the stairs, what would you do? Probably yell at you for wrecking my game. Then what? I don't know. Go downstairs, get the ball, maybe do something else. Exactly, George said. That's what's going on right now. Somebody opened the door. All of our tennis balls went flying through. Now, we have to figure it out. Do we go looking? Do we start a new game? Do we do something else? Wow, Dad, Roger sighed, rolled his eyes, and shook his head. I guess all that yoga's really paying off. George almost got angry. His own father would have yelled at the disrespect. But then he laughed. You should try it. Roger laughed too. Maybe when it comes out on the PlayStation 5 that you're getting me for Christmas. George blinked and took a deep cleansing breath. Do you want that last dumpling? Yeah, of course. It's yours, George said. We'll see about the PlayStation. Gee, thanks, Roger said, spearing the dumpling with his chopsticks. George watched his son eat, thankful for the moment that they were together.